Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Recording, Lucy Holden. Big clap, please. Nice. Strong clap.
Oh, that's right. A little bit twisty.
By the way, this pecan coffee that you had downstairs in your Nespresso thing, incredible.
Slaps. Yes. Doesn't it? Have you tried the maple one?
No, but I will have one next time.
I've got the caramel.
I have nil.
I've got the bougiest coffee machine ever, by the way, and we still use an Nespresso one.
Cal had a really interesting fact on this.
Go on.
No, I don't have the fact. Cal had the fact.
Oh, no, I did have an
interesting
fact.
You did have an interesting
fact.
Yeah,
no, fact. So it was Rory Sutherland, and he was saying, like, if you were to buy, you know, jar of coffee, just like the spoonful of coffee, to get the same equivalent amount of servings out of one of those, out of an espresso pod, guess how much that jar of coffee would cost? Be £87.
Why?
Which is insane. Because the Nespresso's cost loads of money, but the thing is, you look at them and you compare it to Starbucks. And so you're like, Nespresso's cost me, you know, 35, 40p a pop. And you're like, but I'd normally spend £4 at Starbucks. It's practically making me money.
Yeah.
So that's the really interesting thing. It's about comparison. It's the same way that, you know, Bentley and Rolls Royce, they don't sell their cars at car shows. They sell their cars at airplane shows. Because if you just spent the afternoon looking at like Boeing 747 Dreamliners, then a 400 grand car is like an impulse buy. It's like, oh yeah, I'll just buy one of them. It's an interesting, and I think we can relate that to my coach a little bit as well.
Explain.
Well, I mean, this is. Well, I'm not going to put this in the podcast, but
then we are. We're in the podcast now.
Well, I don't know. I think that some people might look at my coach and think, you know, it's like some of the other fitness apps out there that you can get for like £2.99, and then you've got like some crap workouts on there. Whereas if you compare it to actually the price of full cost personal training, which is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds a month, like the minimum buy-in for someone to do a face-to-face PT once a week is, you're talking £300 a month. If you do one set, and that's an hour a week. If you do 2 hours a week, you're talking £500-600 a month. Suddenly £40 a month is actually an absolute steal.
I agree with that completely, and we will keep it in the podcast because we do compare my coach to personal training. That is the reason why the app is the way it is, and it has check-ins and it's got the full workout programs. It's got access to myself and Ben. You've got personalized calories and macros. We're not going against just workout programs. We'll give you that on our Instagrams. I think it's a very valid point that you made there. But honestly, just when you said Nespresso before, and I remember you told me that a couple of weeks ago, and it's played in my mind since, because I do spend a lot of money per month on Nespresso pods, like 50, 60 quid, because I love the different, the flavors. I love what they look like. I love putting it in the machine. And yeah, you could do it in so many different ways, and I do prefer it. Because
you see the value in it, don't you, as well?
For sure. And I think it's very valuable to compare that with my coach and what we bring to the community.
You'll always find money for the things that you value. I spend a lot of money on steak, and you couldn't fathom that I spend that much money on steak every month, but I don't care because I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's the same with like the £40 a month or 30 if you do quarterly on my coach, by the way. The value that we've put into this app and that is coming this year and the events and everything. And we do hope people do see the value for money in it. And I think you can get a free trial and you can use Not So Fit. Not So Fit, isn't it? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
For 7 days free on the app. But yeah, great comparison.
I've just Googled it. The average personal trainer cost in the UK is £30 to £60 an hour. And we're talking about a month of access to VIP nutrition plans, the whole lot.
Also, you're talking about someone as well. If you're seeing a personal trainer, you're seeing at the end of the day after work, who's potentially already been working for 8 hours and is absolutely shattered, and whose brain, as a human being, can no longer keep peak concentration and focus and attention to you during that period, which is why we have set it up in the way, in the format that we have, so that you get the most out of it for your money.
Absolutely. And do you know what? We never actually speak about my coach as often as we should in the podcast. And I don't know why, because it's our whole pride and joy. We fucking love it. We think it's fantastic what we've created and the community. And even things like the International Women's Day event we did.
Own the road.
Whoa.
Road.
This means we're tired when we're repetitively speaking like that. so many people are like, oh my God, I wish we could come to that event. And I'm like, oh my God, actually, the event was boss. Like, it was so valuable.
Oh, boss, mate. Why are you going scouts?
That wasn't even, I'd said that, that in the scouse? Not, I so didn't even scouse. Say that. I didn't even say that in a scouse tone in any way because it's I'm bossa. Not scouse. See, what you did there, Ben, you threw me off my trail of thought.
I think we can tell us the second podcast we're recording today.
Yeah.
You we're threw me tired. Off my, no, I've had a coffee off now. My trail of thought. Yeah, you've had an espresso, which is valuable. No, we'll go into today's podcast anyway, guys, which was...
No, do you want to give us the intro, Luce? Come on.
Hello, and welcome back to Not So Fit Cup podcast with your host, Lucy Haldon.
I'm Benjamin Haldon. I was about to say something after that. On the Own the Road event, we're going to be doing something mega this year to... Own the Road is going to become sort of part of our running club, the MyCoach Run Club, and we're going to be doing a big event that we're going to be able to get a lot of people involved in this year, mm-hmm. which is going to be really cool. So yeah, watch that space.
Yep.
Own the Road.
Watch this space. Yeah, we can't really share too much about it yet, but the slogan of Own the Road, it hits in all different areas. It's not just women. It's anyone who is running. And the reason it started out was for women to own the road and feel comfortable running by themselves and being part of the running community. But having guys involved and this whole thing is going to come about of My Coach Own the Road. I think it's really, really powerful.
I think it comes off the back of the podcast we did the other week as well about running, where if you feel like you're not a runner or you don't deserve to be there or you're comparing yourself to other people, it's like we talk about taking up space in the gym. It's taking up space on the road and owning the road and going out there and just getting after it. Even if you're a new runner or an intermediate or whatever it is, you deserve to be there too. Mm-hmm. Cool. So this start of this month, we're going to be kicking off with Q&A.
Yeah, we are. Start of the month.
Yeah.
It's April. Happy spring,
Happy
everybody.
Spring. Spring has sprung.
Thing. You've no. got a lift now, pal.
Happy spring.
Got feed mum over here.
That was really mean. I really enjoy spring. Spring is one of my favourite times of year. It's also one of my favourite times to run. I think it's, in the UK, we definitely have four specific seasons, kind of. But spring, it starts to stop raining in the UK. And it's a wonderful moment because if you live in, I was going to say if you live in Manchester, but we live in Chester and it still pisses it down every single day. I'd be thankful that we are in spring.
Can I ask you guys a quick question?
Yes, Carl.
How have you been this winter? Like, have you had any, do you think like mentally you've been okay? I feel like in the UK, the lack of sunlight, the constant shit weather... How have you been, both of you?
I think we've been away quite a bit, which has really helped. But with that, as soon as you get back, I feel like it's worse because you've gone from that high to the low. I think the wet and rainy weather definitely pisses on your parade a little bit, but I try and be mindful of that and try not give it too much credit. I think there was an old Japanese philosopher, and I'm going to butcher the shit out of this, but you're talking about how his kids were saying, oh, Daddy, we can't go out and play today because it's raining. And he just like, some, I can't remember what the terminology used was, but it's basically how they were going to go out and play in the rain regardless and not allow external factors to ruin what they had planned for the day. Mm. So whenever it rains, that always comes to my mind. So I'm going to go and run in the rain. I'm going to go and do things in the rain. I'm going to try and not allow it to dictate my life as much as possible, which is difficult to do. Because I think when you look out and it's grey and it's shit versus when you go and get up and like the light's beaming in through your windows, you see the sun. We all know the physical and mental effects that sunlight has on us, which is why so many people talk about the first thing to do in the morning is get sunlight into your eyes, get outside, get exposed to it. So it definitely has its benefits. And I know there's a lot of studies that have looked into the effects of lack of sunlight versus those countries that get a lot more sunlight. So it's definitely a thing, but I try and just be mindful of as possible of not letting it ruin my day.
Yeah, I definitely think we were here the whole of January, and January was it was just a weird month. I think in general we had quite a lot of stress going on anyway within what was that?
We
had a lot, yeah, for sure.
Carl just pulled me up on that in the last podcast to speak of breathing like Darth Vader.
It wasn't the breath, it was actually the gulp. But
no, I know, but I'm talking about breathing. I was like,
don't do it now. January was definitely a harder month in general, but that is one of the things with the rain. I follow quite a few people who live in like America or wherever, and when they get up at like 6-7 o'clock in the morning, go for a run with their tops off I there's nothing more in this world that I envy. Like I do look at that a lot and think,
how are you going to run in with your top off? That'll be fucking
my sports bra.
Yeah, that's all right, but like
not tits out.
Full sentence.
No, but I'm just referring to like guys who run with it. They wake up. It's not even that they've got too hot and they've had to take their top off. They set off in a sports bra. They set off without their top on because it's that glorious.
Without a sports bra.
Without a top, without just a fucking sports bra.
Tomorrow's run, I'm going running for the village. All right, John.
No. But
swinging about.
The fact they can just wake up and it's beautiful and they can run. If you live in one of those countries and you're listening to this podcast and I dare hear you moan about the weather, it being too hot or whatever it is, the fact you don't live in the UK sometimes in January, February is a gorgeous place for you to be. I really envy it. Like a lot of the time, I do envy quite a few people that I follow who live in like Australia or America and it's hot and it's gorgeous. I'm thinking, oh my God, you just get to roll out. You don't have to worry about like the mud or the rain or the cold. It's just, I'm openly admitting that I get envious about it. I don't think that's a bad thing to
I don't mind the admit. Rain. I hate it being cold.
I can't stand the rain.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't mind running in the rain. And that's the only time I'm kind of outside for long periods. Yeah, that's a pain in the ass.
And having to worry about waterproof jackets is the worst.
Yeah. And also, for all the girls who have quite long hair, running in the rain, my ponytail or plait just comes back as a dreadlock. An actual rat's tail dreadlock. You can't relate, Ben. So Ben's like, I love running in the rain. I'm thinking, oh my God, I need to like prepare my whole life to come back. And then, yeah, it's a whole process for us girlies. But today we are actually doing a Q&A.
So first question we've got is, have your past issues with food and or body image ever impacted intimacy? On that, can we put the questions up on the video?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like how that looks.
I think when I had an eating disorder, yeah, a little bit, obviously, because you just feel minging. I just really just hated my body and how I was.
It's not talking about just in general, it's only talking about intimacy, which we've not spoken about before.
No, but I'm getting into that.
Okay, sorry.
Because I think when you have an eating disorder or just poor body image or how you're feeling about yourself, if you're not confident enough in your own body, fucking hell, I don't want you to see me naked, is the first thing that happens a lot of the time. But it not as much like at all now, it's like the past 4 years, but if we're going back to when I had an eating disorder and I really struggled with food and I wasn't confident within myself, I was not confident around you either.
Yeah.
At all. It just made me feel like it didn't stop us necessarily, but I was like very shy in terms of like walking around and feeling comfortable. And then I think it rubs off when you're showing that lack of self-confidence within yourself. I think it rubs off on the other person and they can probably see it. But it's not something that I've like massively, massively struggled with. I don't think. I just remember at times when I was like heavily into an eating disorder, I remember how I felt and I just didn't really want to have no clothes on. Yeah. It's probably the best way to put in. You have no clothes on, you can't really be intimate.
Yeah, I don't think it's that anything I've ever really worried about, especially when in relationships. I think maybe when you meet someone new, I've worried about it before, or if it's been like a one night thing, I've worried about it before, but not like with partners. I've always felt 100% comfortable, I think.
Yeah, I think that's probably not the answer the person wanted, but we've always been quite comfortable.
But it depends whether that person's in a relationship, because if you're viewing it from like you're about to meet someone new or you're just kind of exploring your sexuality and having sex with more people, then I'd imagine it's probably quite daunting if you've got body issues at the moment. But I think when you're in a relationship, you become comfortable around each other and you both accept each other.
I think as well, communicate about it. If you are feeling a certain type of way within your relationship and your intimacy, have a conversation with your partner and just be like, I feel this way. Can we talk about it? Like, what can we do to maybe boost my confidence or maybe feel a little bit better? And you can do things slowly, whether, I don't know, if you have sex with the light off, could you slowly introduce like a candle and then low light and building the confidence so that your partner can see you and doing it in a way that is respectable for both of you, where you're both feeling comfortable, but without communicating it with the other person, they're not going to know how you feel unless you're really giving off signals. But yeah, that's
Or are there certain positions that you feel work better for you because it makes you feel more comfortable? Yeah. That's always something that you can kind of do as well.
Yes. There's so many questions about the kittens. May I just throw in there? Just I have one question about the kittens. Well, the question actually is all things kittens. Names, breed, what made you choose them? Do you know, funnily enough, I'm a cat girl.
Yeah, I thought that was the end of it then. I am a cat.
I am cat.
I am cat. There we are.
You need to go back to last week's episode to understand why that was so hilarious to us all.
I love Jim.
I am Jim. I am cat. I love cats. Always have. As soon as I was born, we had cats in the family. Can we just bend?
It's like Borat shit now, isn't it? We're getting too far.
Always had cats in the family. I've still got cats at my parents, Dizzy and Socks. Ben has never had a pet. And he never really...
So how much did you pay for your old cats?
Socks was a fiver and Dizzy was
Isn't
three.
Isn't that mad?
That's actually not mad.
It is.
No, it's not. That is not mad.
I could just about get a coffee for that now.
Yeah, but it was more so they were our friends. Cats had kittens.
Yeah, but that is still a bit crazy that it's only £5 for a cat. Is that just me or is that...
Yeah, I bought a sandwich that was more expensive.
Exactly.
Well, I've got a lot more value out of Dizzy indeed. And Socks. Dizzy and Socks. Dizzy was free and Socks was like a fiver. And so we've always had cats. I absolutely love them. I'm not a dog person. I don't like dogs really at all. I'm just not a dog person. And a dog wouldn't really fit in our lives at the moment anyway. I've always said to Ben, I'd love to get a cat. Whenever he's been around Dizzy or Socks and they like brush up against his leg and they're being all cute, he kind of like doesn't kick them, but he moves his leg away and he's always done it as just like a thing. And then we go back about 3 months and I walk past Ben's laptop and on the laptop screen, it was on the kitchen table, was the like a cat thing. I was like, what the fuck is that? I didn't go on it. I just thought, oh my God, he's looking at cats. A week later, we're on the train down to London and he just randomly goes, do you want to get 2 kittens?
No, I didn't.
You did?
No, I did not.
What did you say
I
then?
I wanted one cat.
Okay, yeah. So he said, he said, do you want a cat or do you want a kitten? Immediately, yes. Like, I absolutely do. He's already got them up on the screen. They're in London. They're this breed, so they're munchkins.
No, I think this story's been twisted. I literally had a tab up with one cat. It was a fairly, like, reasonably priced cat.
No.
Let me finish the story. Reasonably priced cat. Literally within I'd had this tab up for a week. Just have a little look at the cat. I'll look at the breeds. Within 24 hours, now Lucy's picked up on the scent. We've now got... put a deposit down on 2 cats. I picked the run to the litter. Lucy's picked the bougiest cat in the world.
You're lying.
And now I'm on FaceTime to the breeder.
No.
It's gone from 0 to 100 real quick.
On the way down to London.
It can now forever never be changed.
On the way down to London, I can get the text messages up to my sister saying, we're getting a cat because you said, do you want this kitten?
Because you'd seen the tab on my computer. Exactly.
Yeah, but I didn't say anything. I was just aware that Ben was looking at cats thinking, that is rogue because he doesn't like cats. We're on the train down to London. He shows me his screen.
I think it's when it's like that thing when, I guess, because I'm not in that position yet, you and people have their own kids, but then they hate other people's kids. Because you know when like other kids are whining and stuff in public and you've got to punch them or kick them? I'm joking, I don't really do that. It's like that type of thing. When it's your own, I think obviously you have a different love for...
But the point of the story is Ben on the train to London shows me his screen, he tilts it to the side and he goes, what do you think of this kitten? And I said immediately, yes, I would like that cat. Like, I don't even care what the thought that Ben even said, like, he's even thinking about getting a kitten. I was like, immediately, yes. And then, yes, that night we were on the phone to the breeder. We'd made a deposit. And then we got 2 because you can't get one. You can't get one. Imagine, oh my God.
I think that's a rule.
No, actually, it is a rule. Facts.
I think for cats, it's a really good idea.
For cats, it's a really, really good idea. Because imagine if we just had Minnie. She would have passed out by now with fear, bless her. She's so timid. And her brother is just, he meows for her if he can't see. Like, they're very together cats. You've got to think, if we're not in, they have each other.
It's definitely better.
So yeah, Minnie and Munch. Munchie's the little boy, Minnie's the little girl. They are Munchkin Scottish Folds. Minnie is pure Munchkin Scottish Fold, which is why she's got little Scottish Fold ears.
Where are you getting this pure from? There's no such thing. They're both the same. They're just one has slightly different.
But Minnie's more pure. Minnie's got more in
it's
her.
Not more pure. Just one's more Munchkin and one's more Scottish Fold.
They're brothers and sisters, right?
Yeah, they're brother and sister.
But you can't get pedigree Munchkin cats because they can't breed together like donkeys.
Yeah, they are crossbreed. So we'll show you a few little pictures if we can finally get a cute little picture of them not moving. But yeah, they're so wonderful. Ben chose the breed and then we looked into it. They're a very, very affectionate cat, which is really nice.
Don't grow too big.
Yeah, they don't grow too big. They will be indoor cats. I did say, if we ever were to get a cat, we wouldn't get outdoor ones because where we live, we're just not far off a main road. And I cannot. The thought of my little, tiny little baby getting run over, it's just really a lot. So they are indoor cats. They're gorgeous. They're fluffy. They're beautiful. They're wholesome. She sits up on her back legs like a little meerkat. I've got a really cute picture that I'll put on the screen for you guys. And yeah, they're just wonderful. They're part of our family. And I'm just really excited. They're really wonderful, aren't they?
I think I just wanted something which, because sometimes I'm a lot in a lot and you're not, or you're in a lot and vice versa.
Yeah.
It's just nice to have a bit of character in the house as well.
Yeah, it's just, there's a presence in the house. Like even now we're set upstairs podcasting and we know they are down there.
Do you know what the thing it's already done for me is that I'm one of those people who will just like continuously work. It makes me have breaks away from work just to go and play with them for a little bit.
Led under the couch.
Yeah, which is actually quite nice because my job at the moment is feed, stop picking up shit and don't stand on small animals. That's the
Ben
the
hasn't picked up a single piece of poo yet.
Right, so this is the thing that Lucy does, by the way, and this isn't a me thing, this is a you thing. She goes, oh, you need to take the poo out of the thing. One, like, not even joking, it's been a minute later, oh, I'll do it myself. Like, there's no space for manoeuvre in between.
Because they actually go to the toilet a lot, and any slight of start smell, I'm gone in that litter tray, picked up, put in the little bag, dropped outside the back window into a little box, into the outdoor bin. That is how I just do not want.
You.
Do you know what though? Cat poo does not smell good. It's a very interesting.
I don't know anyone who's gone, God, do you know what? Bird poo smells really good.
Bird poo actually don't think smells probably of anything. I wonder if bird poo smells.
Yeah, it definitely does. Yeah, I used to work in the RSPCA with like parrots. They stank. Oh my God.
No one's gone, the scent of that animal shit. Oh, beautiful.
No one's saying that. Like, it's kind of like fox poo and cat. They just have a very particular scent. So if there's any, I have a lot of candles and aromas around the house.
Okay, next question. Let's get some quick fire ones in. Who pushes the other more in terms of fitness, or is it equal?
I think I push you more. Depending on what we're doing, maybe. On a run, I think I'd push you more.
I think that comes down to because it's who struggles more from which activity.
Yeah, completely.
Because you're a better runner than I am. So you push me through those things. I think I don't know, maybe this is me making up, but I think sometimes you push me more during and I push you more to get out and do it.
Yeah.
What about in terms of goals? Like pushing for loftier and loftier goals? Like you both have quite lofty goals.
I mean, fitness-wise, Lucy's always planning stuff herself. I don't think she needs...
Yeah, I do it off my own back.
She doesn't need any pushing with that. When it comes to business stuff, like when we come down to split the roles up, I am more of a visionary, so I will think very, very much long-term, like 3 to 5 year plan. So I think I will always go a bit crazy with that, whereas Lucy will rein it back in a little bit more.
Mm.
But in terms of pushing, I think there's different elements of the push.
I definitely push you more. I think sometimes you suffer with not thinking you're good enough, or
yeah, that's one of my worst traits, I think,
or that you can do more, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, just sign up, like what, like just do it, like just sign up for it. It doesn't matter if you fail. I very much have that mentality of I'm gonna sign up for it anyway, see how it goes, could fail, could not, whereas you're almost on the edge of I don't know if I can, I'm not sure. That's,
it's always been one of my personality traits that is that I'm very self-critical. And I was speaking to our physio about this yesterday, because he was saying my little girl's six and she's very, very good at sport, very good, but she lacks confidence in pushing herself and what she's doing. And I was always like that with football. So looking back on it now, and I knew that the level I got to, I always saw myself when I walked out onto the pitch on a Sunday as one of the worst players on the pitch. That's just the way that I viewed myself. And that I always had to work doubly as hard because I wasn't as good. Mm. I think that might have come down to some of the criticism that my dad often gave me. There wasn't often a lot of positive reinforcement for what I did in the games. It was always, oh, I should have done that better, or he could have done this better, or he'd shout stuff on the sideline. It was never, oh, well done, that was great, or anything like that. So I think that's probably played into it a little bit. But what I think sometimes that's done me well as well, because I then got to a point when I was 15, 16, I started to realise I was, and not in a big-headed way, I was the best player on the pitch. I remember coming off a lot of games and like my teammates would say like what the opposition sideline was saying, like, just can't live with him. Like that player who's playing in the middle park, like he's on another level. And then I started to get scouted by Tranmere. And they're the things that kind of gave me evidence to have confidence. So I think there's kind of drawbacks and positives that come from that. But I definitely have that tendency to be self-critical of myself from the off.
Yeah, completely. What you said before about sometimes I find it hard to like go, like get out sometimes. I procrastinate quite a lot, but when I'm out and I usually snap into it straight away. Great question. I had a really interesting question.
What about from your point of view, Cal? Who motivates, who pushes who more? Because you're looking at it from external factor.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Lucy's a bit more relentless with training. I think the idea of Lucy having a day off as opposed to Ben having a day off is a bit more hard to see. I think if Ben's struggling, he'll go, no, you know what, I need a day. Whereas Lucy potentially would just not ever do that. Yeah. But I don't know. I think in session, Ben probably will push Lucy more. In general, I think Lucy probably pushes Ben more. But it's very equal. I'd be splitting hairs to find actual differences. I think you're both extremely motivated, very, you know, determined, pushy people when it comes to fitness.
Thanks, Cal.
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick one?
Cool. Yeah.
We got an anonymous one come through. Wait.
Hey.
Okay, question was, if you could only do two exercises for the rest of your life, what would they be?
Ooh, two exercises for the rest of your life.
We'll count running as an exercise as well.
Running is one of them for sure. Deadlift.
Really?
Only because if I'm hitting...
It hits everything. I
want to hit everything. If I only really got one, I'm hitting my posterior, I'm hitting my back, probably going to hit my legs a little bit. My arm. Like in general, you are going to get hit all around.
I feel like running's a bit of a cheat one.
Yeah, go on. If it was too, like...
It's not cheat. Resistance Cal, no, exercises. Cal said running. I
squats and what?
No, deadlifts.
Sorry, yeah, deadlifts and
hip thrusts. Mm. Probably.
I would choose. So this isn't like what would create the best physique. This is just
well, it's for you. Yeah. So I mean, you could say physique if that's what your goal was.
Okay, I think if it's for the best physique, I would again choose deadlift because I think it's the best full body, and then I would choose incline dumbbell bench press. Just because I'm getting a good amount of push. Most people lack on incline. I find dumbbells better than barbell for control. And then deadlift is just the best full body movement you can do. So you've got a push and a pull movement and you're getting a bit of legs in there. If it was down to like enjoyment, I would probably pick a pull-up and a bicep curl. Going bro.
Do you think you could build a decent physique from deadlifts and incline bench press?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you could.
If your diet was on point as well.
Yeah, I think you could do different things in them as well. Like you could do supersets, you could do strength sessions where you just focused on really heavy pull-ups and progressively overloading the pull-up and really progressively overloading the bench press. You could do gym and volume sessions with just the two exercises. I think I might even do that for like a 30-day challenge. Hit that. Like there's a YouTube idea I'm putting down. Let me just type it in.
Two exercises.
Right.
While you're doing that, Ben, last question, Luce, quick one. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the new cyber flashing laws? I think I sent you this link yesterday.
Yes, thoughts? You did. I honestly think it's incredible.
Should we tell people what it is first?
Yeah. So a 14-year-old girl, I think she was 14 or 15, 15, yeah, was sent a inappropriate dick pic from via WhatsApp.
Yeah, WhatsApp.
It was on WhatsApp by this 39-year-old guy.
Does she know him?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not sure how they knew each
other. I don't know what the situation was there. And he sent this picture. She screenshotted them, because I'm assuming he maybe deleted them or whatever, but she screenshotted them, took them to police that day, and then he has been arrested. I think it's for 16 months. He has been arrested, and it's the first case of like a cyber flashing, whatever it's called, where someone has actually been arrested. And I think, so anyone who has ever sent me a dick pic before on Instagram, I'm going to screenshot your next one. And you're going to get fucking arrested because it's so inappropriate and disgusting. And anytime I've received it, I think it's awful. Doesn't happen as much now. Instagram and certain social media platforms have introduced a lot of ways to like block it, or they're blurred out and things like that. But these people should absolutely be held accountable for what they're doing, because it's so wrong. Like, you're doing that to a 15-year-old girl. It's so wrong. So I'm actually really glad there's now steps in place through like WhatsApp. This has happened, obviously, and I think through social media, where people are actually going to start getting consequences for something that they think is funny.
Is that equivalent to the penalty that people get for flashing people in real life? Can we have a look at that, Carl?
No, yeah. I imagine it's similar.
I don't know what...
I'd imagine that's what they'd probably base it on.
That would be. But the thing is, just like social media or
it's
WhatsApp.
It's not a female thing, is that though, is it? It's like, no, women aren't sending, from personal experience, there's no female sending boob pictures to guys, or...
There probably absolutely is.
Do you think?
Yeah, for
think
sure.
Probably less common.
It'll be less common.
2 years sentence for indecent exposure is the same as cyber flashing.
Yeah, so it should be.
So it should be.
It's like cyber bullying, isn't it? Same as bullying in real life, the impact, I think, has only just been really punished over the past however many years.
I think that's the thing. A lot of people do. I know it is quite common, especially on Instagram. It used to happen a lot. Like, I used to get it a lot and I just used to delete it. Whereas now, if you literally get caught, and also if you've made a fake account on Instagram, if you don't think the police and people can find you, you're deluded. They'll track your... Is it IP address or whatever it is? So anyone doing it, I actually hope you, not anyone who actually does that is going to listen to this podcast, because you just wouldn't. But I do think it's very, very interesting that those people are now going to be arrested for it and have consequences.
I think the reason why things of this nature were often poo-pooed, or people would just ignore it or just delete it, is because it wasn't fully understood that the impact and the consequences that just seeing something on your phone screen had on people, and how real it actually feels, which is why we had the rise of social media influencers, and people think that they know that person because they built the relationship up through seeing the screen time. I think there was a study done on people who had been involved in a major catastrophe or accident and people who had just seen it on the news, and the stress levels and the post impact that it had was either the same or even more from people who had just watched it, because you're seeing it up close and you're maybe even seeing it more than once. So I'm glad that these kind of things are coming into play, where there's punishment for things that happen online, such as cyber attacks or cyber bullying, and these sorts of exposure as well.
Mm-hmm. I had a really interesting question. I thought it was a good one. What gave you the confidence to continue investing in your business and putting money back into it before it was successful?
Okay, this is easy for me because I thought about it a lot recently. Is I'm on video, hold my hand.
Ben was like, ah!
We're about to go through the incline of interest. So start of the journey's here, and this is how simple I always make it. End of the journey's here is I know what my end point with the business is and what the end goal is. And I know from the start point, I'm 100% getting there. So it's just like I'm guiding a ship along the sea till it gets to point B. And every now and again, I know that all I need to do is re-steer course every now and again. Because every now and again, we're going to bump into things, or we're going to be blown off course. And these are often known as problems that we've got to solve. And whatever comes up in the way isn't the end of the journey. It's just trying to steer the ship back on course, that we end up in this end destination. And that is, honest to God, is a thing that I think about all the time whenever we run into anything to do with business, of issues, of problems, of finances, of whatever it is. That is a thing I revert back to, and it's the most simple part of it. And it sounds so basic, but it's honestly the thing that keeps me going all the time.
Well, there you go. There's your answer. I was also going to say, I think what gives me the confidence through everything, like investing money back into it, which is like always a scary thing, is it's something we are so wholeheartedly passionate about. And I listened to this on a podcast yesterday where the importance of passion within like entrepreneurship, the passion isn't needed for the good times. If the good times are happening, great, like it's all going well. When you have passion for the project you're on, the idea, the business, whatever it is, that is where the passion is important. When problems start to arise, when business starts to get very, very hard, a lot of people will give up if they are not passionate about the project. Like if I was building a company to do with like IT and coding, I'm not that passionate about that. So if shit started to hit the fan, I would really, really struggle because I'm not passionate about it. But with fitness and getting women strong and getting people running and everything like that, I am so wholeheartedly passionate about it till the day that I die, that when things get hard, that's okay because I'm going to do it anyway. And it's just really important to know that I think if you have passion behind what you're doing, you will be able to get through the hard times.
Yeah.
And that is very, 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 very valuable.
Very valuable.
My lips start to get like sticky when I get tired. And the amount of speaking that we've been doing today is wild. What you guys don't know when we do podcast episodes, sometimes we've filmed multiple in the day. So if we sound dreary or drowsy, it's because we are. There's just a fact for you. Next question.
This is...
Don't do a weird one. If you haven't to think about it that much, it's not the one. I have so many.
Yeah, I've got some good ones here, so I'll rip into one of these.
I'll rip in.
Yes.
He's now Australian. We've been through Liverpool. We've been through Australia.
Why is it Australian? Say so I'd rip into one of these.
I'd rip. Is that not Australian?
I don't think so.
Ah, I thought it was Australian.
So,
sorry, this is a dumb question. Sorry. How much do you earn? Like, we're going to sit and answer that question. Come on. Come on now.
I train almost every day. Friends think I am addicted, but I just enjoy it. How to deal with their comments?
Always, it is a reflection on their life. Always, always, if someone is saying you're addicted to wanting to work better on yourself every single day, it is a reflection on their life. The only time I will say, if someone is saying you're obsessive, and then deep down you know you are obsessive and you're training far, far too much and you're not recovering and you're maybe stemming on an eating disorder, and they potentially could be right about what they're saying, but they're just not approaching it in the correct way, have a conversation, say, do you know what? I'm actually struggling. I'm training a lot. I'm not recovering. I don't feel good. I feel quite obsessed. You know if you're obsessed. That is a different story. That's when they're maybe trying to help you. If someone's coming across and saying, oh, you're obsessed with training, most of the time, that other one was just an example of like a rare occasion. Most of the time, it highlights their life, that they're not doing something to better themselves mentally or physically. They're not doing something to improve where they're currently at. They've got a fixed mindset instead of a growth mindset. And most of the time, you just need to turn around and be like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not. I'm just working on myself. But you do you.
Yeah. I think the first thing to do is maybe try and help people understand your passion, understand your why, understand what you love about it, how it makes you feel. And then two would maybe even try and get those people involved in some way, shape or form. The reason why I say this is because my dad was the biggest critic ever of me going to the gym, doing bodybuilding, doing fitness. And over the past year, I've been training him in my garage, doing some stuff at the gym. So try and make people understand, try and encourage people to do things themselves, because it will help if they can go through it and benefit from it. And I think number three would be to, and this is a difficult one, have empathy. So understand why they're saying it. And most of the time it's because maybe they want to be able to have the dedication or commitment that you have. So therefore you going out and doing the thing that they're not then reflects on them and makes them question their own self. So they then lash out and blame the thing that makes them feel that way, which is you. And then I think the fourth thing, option following that, is to just ignore it and continue doing what you're doing. If it means that much to you, then you, unfortunately, you're going to have to blank out some people in your life. And a lot of the time, the people that you think would support you most are often the people who criticize you most. But trust me, from someone who's been through it, you will benefit from it. And also, usually further down the line, those people who will have those issues or have those criticisms will be the person with the handout asking for help.
Absolutely. This is a good question. I don't know. I think it's kind of based at me, but maybe a little bit at you as well. Actually, no, more so based at me for the first part.
Well, you put the bloody question box up. It's going to be based at you, isn't it?
I did say it for the podcast, though. When you get pregnant or slash
I would hope this would be based at you.
I've not finished.
Okay.
You keep interrupting today. Sorry. When you get pregnant slash have kids, which is where you come in, will your content change? Will you share that kind of thing? I think about this a lot. Obviously, when we get pregnant, hopefully we will do, there's no hiding that bump. So whether you like it or not, I'm going to have a bump on my belly and I'm going to be doing that sort of content for 9 months. I mean, you probably won't be able to tell for the first 4 or 5, but maybe 4, maybe 3, who knows? Yeah, of course, I'll be pregnant and I will still hopefully be training, adapted, obviously, to what I do now. I'll still be working on my businesses, everything like that. We'll still be podcasting. Nothing like that essentially will massively change. When we have said child,
With child.
I don't really want to be posting them all over Instagram, no. Like, my page is not, hi, I'm a mum. I will be a mum and I'll be so much stronger for it and it'll be amazing. And I honestly want a kid so much. The thing is, though, I don't think that's really me to have my kid in all of my content. Yeah, they'll probably be featured, but I just don't think I'm the type of person to have my baby in all of my content. It's just, I don't think it's something that I would do. But saying that, it's all hindsight, I don't know. But no, I don't think I'll be filming videos with the kid, like TikTok videos with the child. And I just don't really think that's me. I think I am who I am online, and then I'll be there a mum, and I hopefully I'll just be as relatable. But no, I don't think I'll be like having my kid in my videos and things like that, like that frequently.
I think it's difficult to say though what to be like. I think it's easy to go, don't go do this and I will do this. But I think children, it will be the biggest thing that will change your life. And even things then affecting your career and business, it will have an impact. I was either listening to something or reading something the other day, and we can discuss this. It was talking about the gender pay gap and how one of the biggest things with the gender pay gap didn't come down to people being male or female. It was because they were a mother or father, and because the impact on a woman's career is affected way more by having a kid, obviously, because of the physiological effects of impact and having to take time off work afterwards, and the priority then changing for the mother as opposed to the father, who doesn't have to take that much time off work. If you've got to take, I don't know, what's the average amount of time taken off work?
You can have 9 months maternity.
If you're taking 9 months off, say, for example, you have 2 kids, that's 18 months out of your career potentially, versus a guy who's taking no time off.
Take a little bit of time off.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? It's not a big quarter time. So, of course, that's going to have a big impact. Now, I don't pretend to know the ins and outs of the things that tie into the gender pay gap, but it really got me thinking the other day about how it changes. And I think there was discussion around even the amount of time that people were taking off. And I think the guy who was on the podcast was suggesting, well, maybe the time should just be halved between the dad and the mum. But then that doesn't take into account that the mum needs to have a set amount of time off, not just to spend time with the child, but because you've just shot a baby out and there's physical like pain and discomfort and recovery from and healing that needs to be taken into place as well. So I think it'll be interesting when we have kids, because obviously we work for ourselves, how that balance will be. Obviously, I think the mother-father relationship from just reading and experience from other people and my mum and dad and whatever, is that obviously the child will spend a lot of time with you because you're the mother. And then I guess my time has got to be best spent then supporting you as much as possible.
I mean, I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think we'll be a little bit different. For one, I am not getting 9 months maternity pay. When you work for yourself, you're self-employed, you've got your own business.
What do you not agree with?
That I think we'll split time quite evenly.
I didn't disagree. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying from, I'm trying to put this best way I can because I don't have the personal experiences that, like the things that, and from reliable sources that I've listened to and from speaking to other people is that a newborn baby seems to attach itself more to the mother at the start because obviously you've given birth and if you're breastfeeding, you're the source of food and life and survival for them. So that attachment seems to initially be more to the mother, which means that as a mother, you're naturally going to be more tired in those first few weeks.
Oh, no, yeah, but completely. I get that.
And so your initial like thought will be that the child and taking care of the child and looking after its health, safety, welfare, which is going to take a lot from you. So that I need to be there more to support you and pick up the pieces and other things that would usually be in life.
Yeah, but I think what's interesting and different about our situation is I don't get 9 months maternity of nil work being paid. Like, I just think I've got a very different trajectory about that. I don't get 9 months maternity.
No, but you'll still make money. The business will still make money for 9 months.
And one of the beauties of being a business is that
you have the flexibility to be able to go, if I wanted to, I'll just take a year off. Like,
oh, no. I that's what I'm saying. Our situation is so different. But for me to continue to make money, whether it is through Lucy Davis Fit and things like that, I will continue to work. Like, I'm not going to not work for 9 months. Maybe like a couple of months. I can't say what it'll be.
I'm not talking about to do work or anything like that. I'm talking about like the roles that would be taken when we have the child. Mm. Yeah, my first thought will be to support you as much as possible and do the things that you usually do.
Chill.
So that you can be the best mum to our child. Because I know that relationship with the dad often doesn't kind of happen till not a little bit later, but a little bit, as the mother and child relationship does, because you're the thing that's keeping him, her alive.
Oh, no, yeah. Sorry, I get all that. That wasn't my point. I was more so going down the route of like maternity and if my life would change when I've got the baby and things like that. It is quite different for me because I won't take 9 months off work. I will, as soon as I can, and hopefully I'll feel fine too, we'll be getting back into, but again, we're so fortunate. We do work from home. Yeah. Like that is honestly, I feel really, really fortunate now that we podcast from home. We do most meetings. Everything we can do is a lot of it is from home. And
a lot of people work
from
home though. Like even Cal and Cal's lovely other half, they both work from home, but it's, that doesn't mean that you like, it's taking time off work because you're at home. Like it's not the same thing.
Yeah. I find it really difficult. It's like when we had on the podcast with Tia, it's very, very difficult. I think I'm quite an alpha woman. Like I've got a lot of masculine traits. I am very just, I love work. I love striving forward. I'm very goal orientated. The fact that like everything for a while has to pause for me, and this is just from like what Tia said as well, it's very hard to process that your life has to stop completely for this baby, which is amazing and wonderful.
I don't think, but this is me just again giving my opinion, I don't think you'll think, oh, it has to stop. I think you'll want it to stop. I don't think you'll be like, oh, I want to get into the emails. Like when you got this newborn child.
No, that's not my point. That's not my point. Pre, now, as I am sat here right now, it is so hard to fathom. You'll probably, as you said, you'll just carry on a little bit more and you'll support me. That's crazy to me that I won't be working as hard and training as much, and it's saying bye to my body. And there's a lot that goes on for the woman to decide to have a baby when you're quite an alpha woman and you're like a businesswoman and you're go-go. It's quite hard to like, whoa, this is going to be a real big shift for me. It's going to be a real big change. And I loved and took away more than anything from the podcast we did with Tia, because she's someone that I look up to and she's incredible and she's amazing and she's a wonderful mum. And she's the way I think she's so lovely. And that gives me so much like passion and like, I want to have a baby so much. And I see other people who are quite similar to me who've done it, who have businesses or who train a lot, and there's a lot going on in their lives. And the baby just adds so, so much like love and drive and passion and to them. But you get my point. It's different.
Yeah,
it's quite hard for me to be like, whoa, it's going to, a lot's going to change. Like a lot's going to change, and change is quite scary.
Yeah, but it doesn't always not mean it's a positive.
Oh, no, ours is a positive.
I've got a lot of friends, and like even friends who are about to have children, who've already said like, when it comes to the drive, it's making them 10 times more driven because now it's like, I've got to provide.
You get mum strength. Care. Get
not even strength, just like from a business or career perspective or life perspective. Like... But I don't know why. And I feel like this is sometimes even maybe a worry for you. There's almost a criticism, or it's not held in a higher regard, or just, by the way, I'm not saying just only be a mum, but just being a good mum.
It's hard. Like,
that was one of the biggest things that it could, for a woman, it was like one of the most prideful things you could be, is be the best mum. I'm not saying that's all you be, by the way, but like, for me, I want to be the best dad. I just want to be a great businessman or great in the gym. Fuck that. Like, why would I only want to be that? And I feel like sometimes for a woman these days, it's more difficult to say, because you have to almost stand up and like push against things and narratives, and it's all about breaking down these gender roles, where sometimes it's just about like, I don't know, slightly leaning into them and enjoying some of the things that come with that.
Oh, the thought of
is Kieran outside?
Yeah, I'll just text him.
Okay. Hey.
Yeah.
The thought of just having time with like my baby, it makes my heart ache. Like, and it's, do you know what it's really, when you're like trying for kids, you really want them. Like me and Ben would love, hopefully this year, maybe, we don't know. I don't like jinxing stuff. You know when you're ready. And when we were in Florida, there's obviously a lot of kids at Disney, and every kid we walked past, we were like, oh my God, you're so cute. Oh my God, it's so cute. Oh my God, this could be us. And it's really, really wonderful. And I can't wait to hopefully be like the best mum that I can possibly be. And that is one of the things where I'd hate for women to think being a mum isn't like the best job in the world, because as you said, there's just so much stuff nowadays. Just because I still want to continue working, that's personal to me. If you have a baby and then you're the best mum in the world and that's your job, fucking great. Like, that is incredible. I hear people say it's one of the hardest, most rewarding jobs in the world. And like, my mum stopped working when me and Meg were 5 and 6 to be the best, and she's the best mum in the whole entire world. And I just, yeah, it's very, very exciting. And I'm glad we spoke about that, actually, because there might be a few people who are listening who can relate in any sort of way.
There's going to be people who relate, and there's going to be people who disagree, and that's fine, because I think it's so personal to you and your position and how you feel about it.
Yeah.
We're doing one more?
We should do one more. That was a little bit longer, but I thought it was actually really valuable.
Okay, well,
makes my ovaries hurt when I talk about kids.
We'll finish with this one, because it's really easy. So, short answer, Harry Potter or Disney? And why? Just bear in mind, we've got back from both.
What?
it was the easiest question of the podcast. Like, it was not difficult whatsoever. Don't try and worm your way out of it or put it off.
I would have to say you have to go first. That's not a nice question. That's just not rude. That's rude. Why would you ask that question?
I'd say, based on the trip, I'd say Disney. But I think I'm being biased, because we stayed in the Universal area and then went back to Disney. And like, the magic of Disney when you're immersed in it is another level.
Oh, I was basing this off films.
Yeah, I know. That's like two different caveats, isn't it? Like, I think if you're saying overall.
Overall Disney, for sure. Yeah. And we've basically got in my head, Moana makes me so happy. And then we've got Harry Potter series, reminds me of Christmas.
Yeah. The Disney magic is just a different level.
So there's your answer.
Boom.
Didn't really answer it properly.
Guys, we've got one quick question that's just come in. Would you rather have a finger nipple or a nipple finger?
A finger nipple.
I think I could hide the nipple that was a finger better than...
No, you couldn't, because what are you doing with that?
I'd make sure it's down and strapped down.
Oh, but that's
a nipple there. Are you joking?
Yeah, I'd have a nipple
there.
A nipple on my
finger
on my nipple, and hide it and strap it back. Ew, yeah, because I don't want
nipple
a little nipple.
What are you doing with
finger.
That?
You can't. Yeah, nipple finger. That is so inappropriate. Anyway.
Quite handy though, if you're a mother to a child. Like, imagine I use the breastfeed.
No,
from your hand.
No, because a nipple finger, you've got a nail. You're not even a teat.
What do you mean? The nipple is on your hand.
No. Oh, you're talking about the hand nipple.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, just like they suckle it. You know, no, because then you've no milk.
No,
that doesn't work.
It's got a gland attached to it.
That would
surely be
really handy. You'd just be like,
there you go.
Fist pump.
Sorted.
Drink.
You're gonna punch your kid in the face and breastfeed.
No, just like a little gentle knock. But on that note.
Imagine stiff nips on your hands, though. Oh,
yeah, when it's cold.
Oh, it would grow, though.
Yeah.
It would, what's too big? It would be like this big. Anyway, nipple on the hand, answer in the comments.
Oh, God, imagine bench press, though. Yeah, fucking hell.
You wouldn't even really need, you would actually need the support of
I'm talking about
finger.
The ball coming down your finger here.
Oh, you've always strapped to the side, Ben, you're fine.
Would your finger grow if it got cold on your chest?
What?
2 inch, yeah, no.
Let's get away from this.
Anyway, I hope you loved today's episode. We ended up speaking about very random topics, which we always love. And as always, sharing the podcast on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, leaving reviews, subscribing to Spotify and YouTube massively, massively does help this podcast. I know you guys don't know that, but if we can ask you to do anything that is completely free to do, it's literally free. We would love it if you could do that, and we'd appreciate you so much. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's episode, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.